When Jerry Coppola was in grade 10, he was working on assignments that were much loftier than homework. The Winnipeg teen would board a train bound for Ottawa to meet with his contacts at the National Film Board. And then throughout the mid-60s to the early 70s, he captured youth culture, including some right here in Ottawa, with his camera for the NFB. And now, 40 years later, he's collected some of those images in a coffee table book called All Our Changes, and Jerry Coppola is launching his book at Collected Works tonight. He's with me in the studio. Jerry, welcome back to Ottawa.
Oh, thank you.
This sounds like the dream gig for a kid at that age. How did you get a gig with the NFB when you were so young?
Well, I was a photography fanatic. I was obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
My grade 8 teacher started me off on it, and it just took off. I loved doing it and was good at it very early on, and got quite accomplished by the time I was 14, 15. And I saw a small advertisement, 2 inches square, in a photography magazine saying that the still photography branch of the National Film Board was looking for authentic Canadian photographs. And
authentic.
And I thought to myself, hey, that's what I do. So I put together a little portfolio and put it in the mail. And I got a letter back quite quickly from Lorraine Monk, who at that time was head of the still photography branch of the National Film Board.
Can I just ask, in that letter, did you say how old you were?
You know, I may have. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't, you know. But she found out soon enough. they liked my photographs, and they bought a few of them. And I guess they did find out how old I was, and offered encouragement that was just thrilling to me. And as you say, during my high school years, I used to get on the train. It wasn't so easy to fly back then.
Hmm.
I'd get on the train at Easter holidays or Christmas holidays, and I would take the train to Ottawa, and they would meet me. Often there was a curator at the film board, Ron Solomon, lovely man, died very young, but very, very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he would sometimes meet me at the train, or I'd take a cab down to Tunney's Pasture, where they were located, and they would take me out to lunch, and they would introduce me to some other artists that they were involved with, usually twice my age and very exotic to my eyes, and they would critique my work, and they would buy some of my work, and I would take the money, and it would fuel my addiction for the next few months.
And then you'd get sent off to chronicle youth culture. Now, did they explain what they were looking for?
Well, it was all very general. I did a number of assignments for them. They just wanted, you know, Lorraine Monk was quite the radical arts advocate, and had kind of hijacked the still photography branch of the National Film Board and changed it from really a propaganda arm of the government, you know, taking pictures of politicians shaking hands and
mm-hmm.
People growing wheat and so on, and made it into a very progressive art enclave. And I guess I was the youngest one of her, you know, proteges, and it was really fun.
Kind of went from wheat to weed, judging by some of the photos in here. I wonder about that, though. When you were walking around taking shots of teenagers being teenagers, and in some cases, some that are older than teenager, I understand.
Sure.
Youth, we'll say. What was the reaction like? Because when I flip through this book, when you start studying the pictures, you seem to have caught people just in this natural state. They don't seem to be sort of defensive about the camera. They don't seem to be. Were these people that you befriended ahead of time, or how did you approach?
Well, in the book, there I would say you know, a third of the photo of the people pictured in the book I knew or lived with or went to school with or hung out with, and the rest were the you know, in our milieu. These were my cohort, you know, and. That particular cultural bubble there, that period was a time of kind of an experimental openness. People were a lot more, you know, I mean, I guess the phrase laid back was invented back then, and people were more relaxed and more, and there was a kind of a communal buzz in the air, and people were, and I just kind of fit in, you know, we were doing the same things and at the same venues, and it was part of of the scene, I guess.
It was interesting. Two of the photos in the book were taken during travels through Ottawa, in
yeah.
fact. We were able to track down the subject of one of those photos.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah, I remember these. I see myself, I guess it would be 1970-ish, at the base of the Peace Tower. So it's shot from ground level up. I'm appears quite happy, sunglasses, very good looking sunglasses, and bare feet, and a lot of hair. I think Jerry and I were going from Toronto to Ottawa to Montreal at that time, visiting various people. He was always interested in photographing what he saw.
You recognize that voice?
Well, that's a much older Lyle Stern.
When was the last time you would have seen him?
Well, it was probably right around the time of that photograph. I haven't seen Lyle for decades, although he lived down the street from me in Winnipeg, and we went to school together.
All those years later, do you remember taking that photo of, in this case, it's him sort of crouched in front of the Peace Tower?
Well, I have the photograph to remind me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact details, but I remember the trip. We were traveling with two other friends, and kids were more mobile back then. It was easier to get around. I think we even hitchhiked on that trip, if I'm not mistaken. And there was this period of, it was actually quite a very nice time in history.
There's a photo in here that my favorite photo in the book is one where it's the Satan's Raiders, what appears to be the bike gang of some sort, where you've got one biker in behind, a close up of a police officer who's very serenely looking at the camera, very happy, who also looks quite young in this picture as well.
Well, there's the evidence. It was a softer, gentler time, and it's softer, gentler biker clubs, and the police were. Especially down in the U.S. now, you know, there's elements of a police state kind of, and things are more severe. And back then, the police were, although they had their moments, and there's a photograph of a pretty rough takedown of a protester in a couple of photographs in the book. But generally speaking, the police were more bemused by what kids were up to. They recognized that we weren't criminals. There were things going on that were unusual and strange to some of these officers, but they didn't take they weren't angry, and you can notice the absence of tasers, for example, in these photographs. You know, that was just not part of the deal.
Unfortunately, we're out of time here, but I'm encouraging people to get out and see these photos themselves. Are there more left in the collection that you could? Could there be a volume two of All Our Changes?
Oh, there could, if the publisher was interested. There's some talk of exhibitions and such, but I'm pretty pleased with the collection in the book. I'm very happy with it. U of M Press was very aggressive about putting it together, and I was just... I'm delighted at the interest in it.
I'm glad you took the trip back in time. Jerry, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Jerry Coppolo is launching his photograph book, All Our Changes, tonight. That would be at Collected Works Bookstore on Wellington at 7:30.